So good morning. This weekend is a snowy weekend, and we thought it best to cancel in-person worship services, but we do want to have a sermon, so it might be a little shorter, but here in the sanctuary is myself and our videographer, and thanks, Audrey. But I wanted to look this week at 1 Corinthians chapter 1, that's our epistle lesson, and I'll read the text first and then have a few comments about it. So this is St. Paul, his letter to the church at Corinth. This is a church he himself established, and he's been traveling, and he's writing a letter back to them, and this is the very first chapter, but beginning at the 18th verse. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to those who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, the intelligence of the intelligent I will frustrate. Where is the wise man? Where is the scholar? Where is the philosopher of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world through its wisdom did not know him, God was pleased through the foolishness of what was preached to save those who believe. Jews demand miraculous signs, and Greeks look for wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and foolishness to Gentiles. But to those whom God has called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. For the foolishness of God is wiser than man's wisdom, and the weakness of God is stronger than man's strength. That's our text. And just a few thoughts on that text. I was reading that this week, and it occurs to me, I, like you, hear what people talk about in the religious conversation of our country. And nowadays, the most common phrase to hear is, all religions are basically the same. We've heard it over and over again, and people look at them, and there's many religions to choose from, Christianity, Islam, Buddhism, Judaism, Hinduism, and people look at it, and one of the things they want to sound open-minded, I think, and so they say, well, I think they're all basically the same. Any religion you believe, as long as you follow the tenets of that religion, that will be sufficient. So our question, of course, is that true? Is it in fact true that all religions are, with some small differences, are basically the same? And like many theological questions, you won't be surprised to know that the answer is, well, yes and no. Yes, at one level, especially at the level of ethics. And that's what people will often do. They'll say, well, religion's about being a good person. Don't steal. Don't cheat. Don't lie. Don't murder. And so I said, well, everybody teaches that. And in that case, all the religions are the same. At the level of ethics, at the level of morality, it is true that all religions are teaching something very similar. Again, shades of differences, but something very similar. The other question, though, is morality the sum total of what the Bible is saying? And the answer to that is decidedly no. In fact, this is where Christianity stands apart from the other religions. Most religions do, in fact, say, if you're a good person, you'll inherit heaven. You'll often hear people say, I hope I've lived a good life. Or they'll say, I hope that I've done enough to earn my way into heaven. That's very typical of people's religious thought. But the reality is, the Bible says, although there is the morality of don't lie, don't cheat, don't steal. Yes, there is. But at the center of it is not that. The center of Christianity is the cross of Christ. And that's what St. Paul is going to say right here. We have morality, but sadly we know we don't keep it. None of us do. The best of us don't. In fact, regularly we hear in the news a scandal of a Christian leader who's fallen. It's tragic, but it shouldn't be terribly surprising. They are men, and they have fallen prey to not earning their salvation yet again. So Christ is the center of the gospel, but here's what happens. St. Paul says, the message of the cross is foolishness to the world. Well, why is that? I think, and by the way, all Christians, we live in the world, and so we're immersed in this world. If you want to buy something, what do you have to do? You have to buy it. If you're going to buy it, you have to ask what? Well, what's it cost? And if I want to be a good person, well, tell me what the rules are and I'll do them. I think those are also natural. We think if I want to get something, I've got to earn it. If I want to buy it, I'll pay the money for it. And it comes to religion, we say, well, what do I have to do? In fact, in the Gospels, many people approach Jesus and say, what do I have to do to be saved? That's their very words every time. What do I have to do? And most religions will say, don't lie, don't cheat, don't steal. Christianity says, you can do nothing. You can do nothing to earn it. And even if you make your best efforts at it, you're going to do okay for a little period of time, and you're going to stumble and fall. And when you stumble and fall, you're going to have to turn to something else. And that something else is the cross of Christ. Now, the reason Paul says that's foolishness is most people just look at it like, well, it can't be that. In fact, most of us are used to thinking that. If you get a phone call and they say, we're going to give you something for free, what do you do? I hang up. It's a spam call, right? So we're used to thinking that we live in that world of things have a price, things cost. In fact, the other thing I always love this about religion, sometimes people think it's rules, do this, this, or this. The other flip side is a lot of times people think as religion is, what do I have to give up? If I give up all fun and pleasure, that must be religion. And the Bible stares at all those things and says, it's none of it. It is, in fact, free. It's not earned, and if it's not earned, it's a gift. And the world is looking at it and saying, that doesn't make any sense. Now, what I want to notice is whenever I read this text, I want to notice that Paul is using some words kind of ironically. You guys probably know the phrase finger quotes, right? I think these go in there. The Bible doesn't have the quotation marks, but I think there's finger quotes here when Paul says this. The foolishness of God is wiser than man's wisdom. You hear it? When he says the foolishness of God, he's not saying that God is foolish. I love it earlier. By the way, all pastors love this verse. Earlier in this passage, he says that God was pleased through the foolishness of preaching. That's fun when you're a pastor. The foolishness of what I'm doing right here. I hope that doesn't mean that the pastor is himself a fool, but it means, this is what it means. Foolishness, finger quotes, meaning that which to the world seems foolish, but in fact isn't actually foolish. You see what he's saying? To the perishing world, the gospel looks at it, they look at it and say, no, not that. Tell me what to do. Not that. Let me be a better person. Let me do it myself. Let me buy it myself. Let me earn it myself. And we keep saying, it's free by the cross of Jesus. A Savior has died to wash away your sins. You don't do anything. You receive it. It's a gift. And the world says, I don't want that. Tell me what to do. So he says, God's foolishness is greater than the world's wisdom because it's not foolishness. God's wisdom is greater than our wisdom. It's only that in the world's eyes, it seems foolish. Now, it seems foolish to those who don't get it, but he says this. The message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it's the power of God. That's what it is. The gospel is the power of God for the salvation of all those who believe. Now, I want to notice something else about this text. He then says, a lot of people really wrestle with the gospel. We just wrestle with receiving from God's blessings. But then he gets specific. There's some specific ways that they do it. And he's going to refer to nationalities because of the culture he lives in. We would say that different people have different ways of functioning. But I love this. So hear this, verse 22. Jews demand miraculous signs. Some people, when they say religion, they're saying, show me something fancy going on, right? Show me some bright light. Show me a lot of, right? Show me spectacular stuff. Show me people throwing their canes away. That's what I want to see. Jews demand miraculous signs, and Greeks look for wisdom. Paul says Greeks look for wisdom. He's writing this to the church in Corinth. It's a Greek town, and Greek towns are full of philosophers. They literally have people on the street corners propounding their ideas, and they love it. Check out Acts chapter 17. St. Paul goes to Athens, and he goes up to the Areopagus, where people, the text literally says, they love nothing better than to sit around and debate the latest ideas. In Acts 17, it even lists that there were Epicureans and there were Stoics, right? People saying, you have to adhere to my point of view, and they would argue with one another, and people would like to listen. I want to hear a great orator. And so Paul will say, some people want to see the spectacular. Some people want to hear a convincing speaker. But St. Paul says, we don't do those things. We preach Christ and him crucified. I was thinking about this as I was taking some notes. In Paul's day, the philosophers were called Epicureans and Stoics. Since that time, the world has suggested many more philosophies. I'll list a couple. You now have choices of Marxism, philosophical materialism, Hegelianism, deconstructionism, postmodernism, logical positivism, all these isms. Somebody says, those guys are wrong, this is the way. And the next guy says, no, those guys are wrong, this is the way. And Paul is saying, the answer is in Jesus. Man is always providing his answers. The spectacular, let me do some works, let me hold to this philosophy. And St. Paul says at the core of this is this gift. St. Paul actually says that he came to preach to the Corinthians, and he said, I decided, this is in chapter 2, when I came to you, brothers and sisters, I did not come with eloquence or superior wisdom, for I resolved to know nothing while I was with you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. That is the answer, not the isms, not yourself, not what you do and not what you give up. The foolishness of God, or I should say the foolishness of God, is to receive the gift of salvation in Christ Jesus. Now, he's going to let them be reminded of who they are. It's a gift. He wants us to receive that gift by grace. But having received that gift, Paul reminds them, he says, brothers and sisters, think of what you were when you were called. Not many were wise, not many were influential, not many were of noble birth. He's reminding us. Now, when he says not many, that means that some of you might be wise. Some of you might be of noble birth. But if you look around among us, most of us aren't rich or powerful or of noble birth. But he is saying, fine, God chose those things. God chose the foolish things to shame the wise. God chose the weak things to shame the strong. And God chose us to be his sons and daughters. By grace we're saved through faith. That's here. That's Ephesians chapter 2. He says it here so that we can't boast. Ephesians chapter 2, so that we don't boast. If anyone boasts, let him boast in the Lord that our God has saved us by his grace and his mercy in Christ Jesus our Savior. Amen. Hope everyone stays safe. We'll see you after the weather's all gone. But be warm, be safe. God loves you.